before we begin this afternoon's service, devotional service, we wanted to bring you the Christian love and greetings of Sister Linda and Sister Bethany. They wish their love brought to you, and also Brother Sean and Sister Rebecca Armstrong, who I had hoped to that they would make it out, but apparently they're not going to be able to. But we were in Pennsylvania, and that's why all the love and greetings from the brethren in Pennsylvania. We were in Pennsylvania yesterday, and Sister Lois Armstrong's, that's Sean's mother, her mother died, and the funeral was in western Pennsylvania, in the Johnstown area. And those of you who have stayed with the Armstrongs in Wilmington might remember Sister Lois's mother did live with them and has lived with them for a number of years. And she was a good person, although she never accepted the truth, she was a good and a kind person. So we wanted to bring you their special love. In beginning a new year in 1997, we thought it would be good to go over the many voices that we hear from coming from many quarters, and we've entitled our remarks and the devotional services to "Whose Voice Do You Hear?" And that was one of the things that why we chose the hymn "We Are Waking," because we want to be awake. We want to be able to hear our Master's voice. When we read in John the 6th chapter and verses 67 and 68, when Jesus said, he said, "Therefore unto the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you?" And this was in response to, he had given he had talked, if you remember this, John the 6th chapter, Jesus talks about to the disciples about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which was abhorrent to the Jew from a literal standpoint. And it says that many of his disciples no longer walked with him. And so he asked the question, therefore, of the 12, "Are you going to go away also?" And Simon Peter in verse 68 said, and Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so we too also want to hear the words of eternal life, and we want to not hear the voices that are around us. And Jesus said in John 10:27, and he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so we want to follow after the Lord, and as we begin a new year, this is a good time to look ahead and to plan ahead, for there are going to be many, many distractions that are going to come into our life during this coming year, as it had been in the past year. There have been many voices that have been calling unto us. And so there was a good reprint article on 2257 and 58, and it's based upon these words that Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." And Brother Russell says, "There are many and innumerable voices in the world calling mankind to follow in pursuit of pleasure, of riches, of wisdom, and so forth. And various are the inducements presented to the young and the inexperienced. The bewilderment of so many attractions is great. But experience has taught many of us that these seductive siren voices would but lead us to shipwreck upon the hidden rocks and shoals, and that Not all that glitters is gold. We have learned that our cravings of our own human natures are quite unreliable, and that we are fallen human beings, and that our tastes and appetites are perverse and so depraved that frequently we crave the things that tend to do us injury and are inclined to reject the things that are best for us. Our Lord speaks of these various voices calling mankind and leading them astray, and contrasts them to his own call to his own sheep, who hear and obey it, saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Strangers will they not follow, because they recognize not the voice of strangers." John 10:3-5 and verse 27. But not all are able to hear and to recognize the shepherd's voice in the present time. The majority are deaf to the subject, however acute their hearing may be in respect to the inducements held out to them by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Consequently, the scriptures say, "He that hath an ear to hear, that is the gospel, let him hear." But the opening of our ears to hear the good tidings of which Christ is the center does not close them to the various voices of selfishness, ambition, pride, avarice, vainglory, and other voices proceeding from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It would seem to us that after accepting us as to be his sheep, and giving us some opportunity to learn the sound shepherd's voice, the voice of truth, we are intentionally exposed to the various voices which would call us away, and many have been led astray, walking after their own desires. How many thus become sidetracked on the way to the heavenly city? How many are ultimately entirely switched off to another direction? How many have thus gone back and walked no more with him? And how few, what a little flock they are that follow on day by day to know and the shepherd more fully, and to walk in his paths, and to ultimately reach the heavenly goal. Let's sing hymn number 127 and think of, as you're singing the hymn, of this is our walk as we trudge up the mountaintop, and all of our possible distractions that will lead us astray. Let's sing 127. You know, as we sing this hymn, did you think about all of those that have gone before? That were fellow travelers along the way for many, many years. Now their crown and glory is with them. And we must continue faithful if we would join them beyond the veil. But there are many voices that call unto us that would invite our delay. And basically, two of them, you know, we can boil them all down to that there are two voices in the earth. There's the voice of God, and then there's the voice of mammon. Who are we going to listen to? Sister Dorothea, could you read us about these two voices?
Probably no other period of the world's history ever had as great need as our own for this lesson. The spirit of our time seemed to lead directly to the service of mammon, wealth, earthly advantages and comforts. The attainment of mammon's reward would appear to be the main object of life, to which every other interest is made subservient, so far as Christendom is concerned. As we look into the Far East, this is less so. The millions of India and of China know far more contentment in their ignorance than do the millions of Christendom with their large degree of knowledge. Knowledge, evidently, is not conducive to peace, happiness, contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What is known as the progress of civilization is in many respects good, excellent, but it has a wrong motive power. The motive power of modern progress is selfishness, mammonism, and increasingly so. Nor can we imagine that the civilized world, intellectually awakened, but not in heart regenerated, not possessed of the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, could be in its present condition moved by any other spirit than that which possesses it, the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of mammon. We are not therefore surprised to see what we do see on every hand, a mad rush and struggle for wealth and for position and fame, which are wealth of another kind and bring financial wealth. The spirit of selfishness in the millionaire stirs him to activity and to the use of his opportunities, not because he needs more, but because he is possessed of the spirit of avarice, the spirit of mammon. The same spirit exactly takes hold of the artisan who, with a moderate income, has secured for himself and family a modest little home and a frugal competence. Many of these are now reaching out after wealth and finding by experience the truth of the apostles' words. They that will to be rich, whether they succeed in carrying out their will or not, if they have the will, the mammon spirit, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, desires, and habits, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the mammon spirit, is a root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, crowding out the spirit of love and wisdom from above, and losing the spirit of the truth, also the letter of the truth and the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is from 1 Timothy 6:10-11.
Thank you, Sister Dorothea. Let us sing hymn number 312A, Let Me Walk With Thee. O Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. This is the only way, as we stay close to the Lord, that we are going to be able to continue on this narrow way. Hymn number 312A. truly, it's only as we stay close to the Lord and look to His leadings and hear His voice that we will not fail. Sister Alice, would you read us as one of the other voices that calls unto us? And this is the voice of wealth.
Wealth calls to us, holding out its golden charms and promising great things, suggesting meanwhile that our religious zeal is right enough, but overwrought, fanatical, and that in this measure only it is in opposition to wealth, and that even if obliged to leave the Lord for the sake of wealth, it need only be temporarily, and that soon, having acquired wealth, we could pursue after Him with redoubled energy and thus gain the kingdom. Alas, how delusive, and yet how many are attracted by this call and presentation. Well does the apostle say that the love of money is a root of all evil, which some coveting after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then too, how false are these hopes. How few amongst the many who pursue wealth ever attain it. Indeed, it is not the wealth that is the evil, for God is rich above all. It is the love of earthly wealth and the manner in which it absorbs the heart affections away from the truth in its service and heavenly things that constitutes the evil and the snare of wealth, which remarkably few ever resist, overcome, and bring into subjection to the divine will.
The love of money is the root of all evil. And really, truly, it is a insidious voice that calls unto us, because really in this life we can't function without money, without having some temporal goods, without having some wealth. And so that it takes the good thing that we must all have, and we must all be, so we can survive, but then it becomes the overpowering thing, and this is where selfishness takes over. The more we have, the more we get, the more we want, and the more we think we need, our needs all of a sudden become wants. And it's an insidious thing to go after, and it becomes a snare unto the Christian. Let's sing hymn number 98, Earthly Treasures Are Vain. Earthly Treasures Vain. Hymn number 98. How true are the words that Jesus told us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verses 19 to 21, when he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And continuing on in verses 31 through 33, Jesus says, "And do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all of these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But continually seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow's will care for itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own." Another one of the voices that calls unto us is fame as well as fortune. And we've asked Brother Tom Ruggiero to read a portion that Brother Russell talks about in the reprint on fame.
"Many hear the voice of fame and pursue it. If peradventure they will become famous, highly esteemed among men. The impelling motive here is, in part at least, pride and approbativeness, ambition for self, not for God, not for righteousness. And how few who turn aside from the Lord's way, in whole or in part, to gain fame, worldly renown, honor of men, ever attain to fame in any considerable measure. It is a false voice, leading on to false hopes, soon shattered in death, if not before. It would induce us to turn aside from the humble path of obedience and self-abasement in the divine service, whose reward is glory, honor, and immortality at God's right hand of favor."
If you stop and think about what fame is, it's an engagement, aggrandizement of oneself. It's a glorification of the Almighty I. It brings, instead of turning it to the Lord or to Jesus, it turns it inward, just as Satan wanted to be equal with God, if not even greater than God, as he brings out in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Let us sing hymn number 28, to where the Christian's desires and aims ought to be. "When Christ, who gave his life for me, his precious blood he shed, all to thee." Hymn number 28. Another one of the voices that calls unto us is worldly pleasure. And really, what is worldly pleasure? But it is a time for wanting to relax from the pressures of this world. And this is one of the things that is very insidious about our day. Because our lives are so hectic that we want to, so to speak, get away, go on vacation, take a rest from things. And Sister Camille Martin is going to read for us on worldly pleasure.
Others hear the voice of worldly pleasure and see the millions of earth seeking it in the gratification of the flesh. And there is a great drawing to go with the multitude, seeking pleasure through the gratification of our perverted natural tastes. How long it takes us to learn assuredly that worldly pleasures are fleeting and that they have a bitter which counterbalances every sweet, and that the tendencies of Vanity Fair are quite contrary to the new ambitions, new hopes, new desires of our new natures. How many efforts all of the Lord's people have made to blend or mix the pleasures of the world with the heavenly joys, only to find that they will not blend, and that the true happiness for those who would abide in Christ and follow his footsteps means a rejection of all pleasures which have a sinful combination or tendency. How long it takes us to learn that the only pleasures which the new nature can truly enjoy are those in which our Lord can be our companion, those which we discuss with him, and in which we can enjoy his fellowship. All of these besetments, be it noticed, have their roots in selfishness, and they are all in some form inclinations to self-gratification.
You know, when we made a consecration, we made a consecration to what? To sacrifice. When Jesus said to us in Matthew 16:24, when he said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, what must he do? Let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me." There's nothing in there about resting, going on vacation, taking it easy. Here is no rest. Hymn number 88. Here o'er the earth as a stranger I roam. Here is no rest. Here is no rest. Hymn number 88.
Thank you.
as we go along this narrow way on this side of the veil, and we grow weary, to whom shall we go? For who has the words of life? Sister Wanda J., would you read to us, to whom shall we go?
Those who go on will all have the general character of Christ, faithfulness to the Lord and to his word of promise. And when various voices call in various directions, away from the narrow way of consecration and sacrifice, humiliation and self-denial, they, in answer to the Lord's query, will ye also go away? Will answer as did the apostles of old, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They know nowhere else to go. They cannot turn back, for they can see clearly that to turn back on their part would be, as the scriptures express it, to turn back unto perdition, to the second death. Having heard the calls of the world, the flesh and the devil, they have seen also the emptiness of all their false promises and how none of them can give a satisfying portion. But in our Lord's call, they have recognized not only righteousness, justice, but have recognized also the promised reward of righteousness through Christ, which he has promised to them that love him, namely eternal life. Nowhere else is there such a promise. From no other quarter comes such a hope. In no other service, therefore, could they think of engaging but in this service. With the hope of obtaining this prize of eternal life, they could rejoice even in laying down this present life. Truly, this is that blessed hope. With such hopes before them clearly understood, and with the narrow way distinctly marked out, and with an understanding of why it is so narrow and why so few find it, because it leads to the great exaltation of the kingdom and its joint heirship with Christ, who could think for a moment of turning aside or even listening to the voices calling to wealth, honor, fame, pleasures of this life, and so forth, seeing that even hearkening to them would interrupt our progress in the way to the kingdom and thus frustrate our hopes and make the exceeding great and precious promises of none effect to us. The rather, therefore, will we lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us and run with patience the race set before us in the gospel. As the faithful disciples realized a meaning in the Master's teachings at the first harvest, which the majority could not realize, so now, at the second advent, his words have a preciousness and a meaning and a force to those who are in heart harmony with him, which they do not have to others. Hence now, as at the first advent, some are stumbling and going back, and others are being drawn to the Lord more closely than ever by the present truth, which he is supplying as meat in due season.
To whom shall we go? He leadeth me. Let's sing hymn number 87. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Hymn number 87.
Thank you.
it is only truly when the Lord does lead us that we will have true happiness on this side of the veil. And by their fruits ye shall know them. Sister Marcy Martin, would you read, by their fruits ye shall know them?
Know them, said our Master. What will be done with the proceeds of the labor is the only outward evidence we could have respecting what was the motive of the laborer. If the proceeds of the labor are merely accumulated in property or in banks or in old stockings, or if the proceeds of the labor over and above the necessities of life are merely used in gratification of the flesh in trinkets, bric-a-brac, or other forms of self-gratification, or for evil purposes, the only reasonable deduction would be that the laborer was inspired to his energy by the spirit of selfishness, and that he is a servant of mammon. But if, on the other hand, the proceeds of the energetic laborer, after appropriating for the necessities of life, are used benevolently in the Lord's service of the Lord's people, in distributing to the necessities of the saints, either temporally or spiritually, or to the necessities of the groaning creation, if this be the use to which surplus monies are put, the reasonable inference is that the laborer was energized not by the spirit of mammon, a spirit of selfishness, but by the spirit of the Lord, spirit of love.
Thank you. Hymn number 273. Son of my soul, my Father dear, I know no night when thou art near. O may no earth-born cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes. Hymn number 273. You know, if we but could keep in memory the fact that every trial, every persecution, every difficulty of life Permit it to come upon those who have made a covenant of sacrifice with the Lord. It is intended to prove them, to test their love, to see whether or not their characters are fixed, rooted, and grounded in righteousness. And being built up in love, it would put all of these trials, difficulties, and temptations in a new light before us, and greatly assist us in the fighting the good fight and overcoming. We would say, if by these little trials the Lord is proving my love and devotion to Him, then however trifling they may be or however important, I will diligently use them as favorable opportunities to demonstrate to my Lord the fullness of my love and devotion to Him and His cause. And thus viewed, and thus met, every trial and every difficulty would prove to be a blessing. As the Apostle puts it, "Beloved, count it all joy when thou fallest into divers temptations. Greatly rejoice, and now for a season ye be in manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. Blessed is that man that endureth faithfully under temptation, for afterward after his trials he will receive a crown of life." Brethren, whose voice do you hear? Let us close with use of hymn number 34, Renewed Devotedness, and let us go forth in this coming year and show forth where our heart loyalties are in this coming year. Hymn number 34, we'll rise upon singing the last stanza, and we'll be closing. We'll be led in prayer by our brother George Tabak. Hymn number 34, Renewed Devotedness.
Loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thy hallowed presence to praise Thee, to thank Thee for all Thy bountiful blessings. And especially, Father, as we now are entering a new year, we do pray that Thou would help us to be mindful of those things that we have now considered, that we not hearken to the many voices that beckon to us, that of pleasure or of fame or of wealth, but that we might ever have before us this goal of this one thing I do, above all else, to ever strive to know Thy will and to walk more circumspectly in the path that Thou would have us to go. And so, Father, as we are in this new year, guide and direct us to this end. May we ever be drawn closer to Thee and to one another and the fulfillment of the goal that Thou hast set before us. Help us to praise Thy name in whatever way we can, to be Thine ambassadors in the earth, that we might share with others a bit of this glorious plan that Thou hast given to us. Soon all the world will know of it as well. So we commit ourselves now into Thy loving care, thanking Thee for all of our many blessings and continuing to remember our brethren in every place who are going through various trials and difficulties. We ask and give Thee thanks for all these things in our Redeemer's precious name. Amen.